From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Ooh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University, Beers with the Brewers.
Well, all right. Well, on that note, welcome again to Beers with the Brewers, recorded remotely still. I know a lot of things are loosening up, but we are still in a pandemic response right now. So This week, got Walt Keys on the podcast. What's up?
How's it going?
Good, good. And Chris, the Brewer Helderman. How's it going, Chris?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Oh, good, man. And I am still Mark Richards this week. See,
sure are.
June 11 podcast. So we got a two-beer episode. And these are two... Now, I know we get into the crushability ratings and all, but these are some very drinkable beers. Lemon Glow Hazy Pale Ale. Hazy Lemon Juicy and Toasty. And... Heart of Gold, also known as Heart of It All of Gold, and that is in reference to the state of Ohio. This is an American wheat ale brewed with all Ohio wheat, which is pretty cool. Bready, floral, spicy, and crisp.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That is right.
And hey, we actually have an event to talk about this week.
Praise be. Believe it. Look at this.
Some of the details still come together on it, but next Saturday, the 20th, I was originally going to be Pride Fest here in Columbus. Obviously, like all other big events these days, that has been postponed to October, but we decided we want to still celebrate Pride during Pride Month. So we're going to have some live music out in the beer garden for the first time, and we're still going to have all of our sort of social distancing rules in effect, so you got to drink at your table, you know, groups of 10 or less, etc. But to kind of mix things up, we'll have some live music on the stage, and we encourage you to get your group of 10 together, and you can reserve a table for Saturday. So it's going to be $35 will get you a table in the gravel area, and that's kind of in the vicinity of the stage. $25 for a table in the turf area, which you'll still be able to hear the music, but it's kind of off to the side. We got 15 tables in each section, and you can have up to 10 people at a table, and 100% of those proceeds from those that reservation cost is going to be going to Stonewall Columbus. So, get your crew together. Come on out, celebrate Pride. Live music going from 4 to 8, and those reservations will kind of hold that table from noon to 3 for you, so you can kind of get settled, have a beer, and then stick around for the live music to follow at 4. And live music is from Hairplane, and I believe that's a spinoff from the Fabulous Johnson Brothers band.
Yeah, right on, man. Fabulous Johnson Brothers, great party band, and still not able to book Rob Halford, Judas Priest, clearly. Is that?
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. I was kind of hanging in the balance when it took you a minute to announce the band.
I think it would be tough to get the full Judas Priest band on and maintain social distancing.
Oh, yeah. Conditions. We just get Rob Halford. That'd be fine.
Well, what about when all the fans rush the stage in pure ecstasy and chaos?
Well, there would be that. You're right. Okay. Fair enough.
So hopefully see you down here for Pride next Saturday, the 20th.
Beer garden's rolling right along, weather permitting, right?
Yep. As always, check the weather. And if you're not sure, go to islandgrantopen.com. And it'll say yes or no.
Cool.
And that's all you need to know.
Well, yeah. I am currently drinking a Heart of Gold American Wheat, and I like that spicy noble hop note in there, too, which is really cool. Chris, you want to give us all the deets on what went into the Heart of It All of Gold American Wheat?
So this was one of our brewers, Justin Reich. This was his brainchild here, but he was a big fan of Glory. That was a wheat beer. Landgren's never done a non-hoppy wheat beer, and so we kind of looked at some in the market, the classic Oberon, which for all you homebrewers out there, they actually have their straight-up recipe on the interwebs. But so we kind of looked at that for some inspiration. We didn't copy it, but look for some inspiration. We use the Pearl, Saaz, and Laurel on the hops, which give us kind of that spicy, floral, citrusy flavor. I get a lot more spice than citrus on this, but and floral, but I can still pick it up. And then one of the big things we did, it's got Ohio-grown wheat from House Malts, and it's also got Ohio-grown triticale, which is a...
I've been saying that totally wrong. That's not how I'm pronouncing it, but I like that pronunciation better.
Some people have said triticale.
Yeah.
Cereal grains course at Purdue. It was called triticale. So that's what I roll with. It's a hybrid between wheat and rye. So it gets you some of that spice as well. We've only used it a couple times, but it's a pretty cool grain. So yeah, that's kind of what it's about as far as the style. Like we said, it's an American wheat. ABV is about 5.1%. Low IBUs, 19. And then we just use the Pilsner malt as the base. It's a little hazy, golden straw kind of color. I get a lot of doughy bread in the aroma and the taste, and that's exactly what Justin was going for on this. So I think it turned out really well, and I think it's a pretty easy drinking summer beer.
Yeah, I would second that. Definitely with that doughy, bready, kind of grain-like aroma. And also, yeah, just even though IBUs very low and not a lot of bitterness here, the hops, very evident and really has that nice kind of German noble hop character that really would be traditional if this was a German wheat beer, although the yeast character, not there because it's American wheat. Yeah, dig it.
Tasty. Like you guys have said, I mean, perfect summer beer, something a little different than we've done, certainly in the wheat realm of things. Probably more of what folks might be looking for when they say they want a wheat beer than we've necessarily made in the past. And I think it's a good addition to the summer lineup.
This is going to be a great summer drinker, and I think we've got a pretty good amount of this going out to stores too. This was an 80 barrel batch, right, Chris?
Yeah, so there should be, I don't know, around 1,000 cases rolling out the door.
Gotta love it. So get this, you can get it delivered to your door still. We're still doing deliveries. I mean, I think that's kind of tapered back now that people are getting out a little bit more. But get it down to Land Grant Tap Room. Of course, at grocery stores around the area as well. Well, Walt, you were asking.
How crushable is this?
Quarantine edition.
You're putting me on the spot?
I think so.
I'll go 5 on this one.
Okay, Chris.
5 crusher.
I go 5 crusher as well.
No, I'm still going with that COVID response times and 6 crusher. But
there you go.
I've been enjoying the beers a bit lately. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Just a little confession there, a little inner confession, but I'm at home. And moving on for the sake of time, too. That was a lemon drop pop. Getting that lemon drop. So
I'm going to get this right out of the way on Lemon Glow. That it's a 6 crusher.
6 sure. crusher. We don't even need the theme again. We're going to start with the crushability first for Walt.
Man. This past Saturday it was our daughter Margot's 5th birthday, and so we set up the pool in the backyard, and my folks came over for a sort of social distance birthday party. It's probably the weirdest birthday she'll ever have, but we made the most of it, and let me tell you, the lemon glow was flowing for everyone. It was the perfect outside hot summer day delicious citrusy beer. I love it. It's my new. I think it's shot to the top of my favorite land grant beers.
Best beer ever,
huh? We've ever done.
That's good.
I love this beer.
I'll tell you, kudos to you. I like the clean simplicity of the label, Walt. Yeah, it does kind of scream summer crusher. So
yeah,
why not start with crushability? I'll go ahead and join you. I'm easy. You don't have to twist my arm. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, there's this one's a real smooth. We're going to go a six crusher.
Right on. So we covered this previously. We had a dual episode last year, actually, that Lemon Drop was also a part of. So we've covered a bit of it, but I know there were some changes this year, Chris.
Mark, Lemon Glow.
What did I say?
Yeah.
Lemon Drop.
I love
it. You've been lemon dropping it the whole time.
That's great. I don't even know the name of this beer, but it does have lemon drop hops, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. So you're not totally off base.
It's hilarious.
This beer called Lemon Glow.
Thanks, Chris, for clearing that up. And I even named the file Lemon Drop. What you going to do?
We brewed it last year, and it was a one-off last year that we all kind of fell in love with a little bit. And we were like, hey, we should do it again this year. But last year, we kind of were using some leftover hops that we had laying around, and we got in some lemon drop. And so it was kind of a smattering of things we could find, which is kind of what you do sometimes as a brewer. Hey, this is what we've got. Come up with something. And it turned out really well. And so brewing again this year, there were some things we wanted to change. I think we used the same hops, but a little bit different hopping regime. For those of you that have been drinking fruit slices, we like that malt base, so we went a little bit more into that malt base. But we used Swain Pilsner, flaked corn, white wheat, and the caramel oats. And then Laurel, Centennial, Citra, and Lemon Drop hops. Normally, you just get what I would say citrus flavor on a lot of hops. And you're like, oh, what's it taste like? Oh, it's pretty citrusy. But this, I actually just get lemon. Like, it is almost like a shandy, but it's all from the hops, and that is very exciting. This is our head brewer, Dan Schaefer. He did a lemon meringue sour IPA at home, and this is kind of what inspired this beer originally, and it's really good. So we're at 5.6 for the alcohol, 5.6, 28 IBUs, and when you pour it out, it's pretty opaque, lemon orange hue. We should have a pretty thick white head on it, and you should be smelling some of that lemon meringue crust, toasted oat granola bar sort of deal, and then lemon meringue, and Dan says orange Gatorade, but I get just a ton of lemon on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Definitely with the lemon. This is just so approachable, too. Like, hot day, bam, beer garden it up.
Yeah.
So, great news. We got a question from a listener this week.
Oh, cool.
You've got mail.
Chris Mercihill asks, I am not a fan of Mosaic or Simcoe, but they seem to be really popular and prevalent in a lot of IPAs right now. Why do you think they're so popular? And what do you recommend in the way of beers without these hops? Well, first and foremost, both of these beers.
Yeah, Lemon Glow.
I mean, couldn't ask this on a better podcast. Both these beers are for you, Chris.
Yeah.
Very true.
It is. I would say Mosaic and Simcoe kind of, a lot of people have a little bit of a distaste for the aroma on those. But I don't know, as standalones, they're a bit aggressive to me. I have had a couple, at least in the Mosaic, I've had a single hop pale ale with Mosaic or single hop IPA. I don't know, that cat pee, sweaty socks, dankness, whatever people want to describe it as. I've never drank any of those. people that are turned off by it are turned off by it. I mean, kind of yard onion, I guess. Maybe could be another descriptor that's not something that paints a pretty picture of those two hops. Chris, what's your take on Mosaic and Simcoe? I personally like them.
So here's kind of a funny story. When we were brewing a lot of Stiff Arm, and we actually couldn't get Simcoe hops in pellet, which is how we normally use them. And we had to use whole hops in the kettle. And I actually do not like the aroma of those hops at all. and so I would pull that hop bag out, and it was not my favorite part of the day, we'll say. A little gaggy, but I love that beer. And so what I would say is pretty much with all hops, depending on how you use them, you're going to get different flavors and aromas out of them. And I love Stiff Arm. It had a lot of Simcoe in it. But like I said, I could not stand the smell of it coming out of the kettle. So depending on how you use them, you're going to get totally different flavors. But if you're doing single hops, you're just going to get that. And Mosaic is a daughter of Simcoe and Nugget. So the fact that you don't like both of those kind of makes a lot of sense. Now, and this I would like to fact check myself on later, but I believe there's a lot more flavor and aroma oils that come out of Simcoe and Mosaic as opposed to some of the other more traditional ones, and maybe just as far as hops go in general. So that's exciting because you can get a ton of flavor out of those hops without using very much. A lot of people love the tropical flavors you get out of them. They're kind of what we referred to as cheater hops, especially Mosaic, just because, I mean, you can make some pretty tasty beers with those as kind of the main hops that a lot of people like. I'm not the biggest fan of those and single hop beers, so I'm kind of on the same side as you on this, but I think when they're used with other hops, they are amazing. So yeah, stay tuned. We might, on next episode, we might go into kind of hop oils a little bit more because it is pretty cool. And I'm not the expert on that, but.
Hey, it sounds like at least on this episode, both Chris's, Chris Mertzhill and Chris Helderman, you guys ought to have a beer in the beer garden.
And, there you go.
Making one of these. Thanks for the question, Chris Mertzhill. And thanks for the answer, Chris Helderman. Got a free t-shirt for you, Chris. You want to come down the brewery and grab one? Appreciate the question. And those out there listening, anytime you want your question answered, happy to answer.
Oh, part of his question was, what can he get without those? And here's what I'll say. A lot of our beers have a little bit of that in them. These two in particular don't. But that's where I would kind of say, kind of have a bigger conversation with you as far as, do you like Stiff Arm or fruit slices or things like that? Because all those have the hops in them, but I don't think they're the shining star in those beers.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just something to think about.
Upcoming Quadrahopic 203 won't have either of those in it. So.
Oh, there you go.
Very true.
Next week on Beers with the Brewers, maybe we can get a little bit more into some hop oil talk. And also, Blue Hour Tart Ale with Blueberries.
And Mosaic Hop. So.
Look at that. Oh, man.
So you might want to avoid that one, but yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
See you guys down at the beer garden. Walt, Chris, good talking to you. And listeners out there, thanks.
Have a good one.
Yeah. See you next week.
Cheers. Bye, guys.
Yeah, see you, Chris. Thanks.